No, they don't stop there. The peace of the vision pushes me to... The dreams, they become unspeakable. You are in them, Connor. I believe the visions come from this. George Washington, circa 1780s. Hello, I'm Andrew, and I want to welcome you to Visions of the Past, a podcast all about the lore of Assassin's Creed. This is episode 98, and today we're going to talk about the last two known Apples of Eden. In previous episodes, we've discussed every single Apple of Eden, except for the two Apples of Eden that were present at the assassination of John F. Kennedy. The apples that Abstergo has classified as Apples of Eden 1 and 3. The first apple we'll be talking about is about the Apple of Eden 1, which has been either mentioned or seen in the glyphs of Assassin's Creed 2, the Dead Kings DLC of Assassin's Creed Unity, the Siege of Paris DLC of Assassin's Creed Valhalla, and Assassin's Creed Bloodstone. The apple had the power to do normal Apple of Eden things like mind control and illusion projection, but it also had the power to imbue other objects with power, like the Eagle of Shugair. Created by the Isu, we don't know anything of its history before its discovery by Saint Denis of Paris within the Isu Temple that would become known as the Saint Denis Temple. He used the apple to convert the local population to Christianity, and after his death in the middle of the 3rd century, his successor used the apple to create a lantern that eventually ended up being called the Head of Saint Denis. This lantern was used to house the Apple of Eden and used it to implant the memory of Saint Denis walking with his decapitated head while preaching a sermon on repentance. After this, though, the apple began to corrupt the mind of Saint Denis' successor, and he returned the apple with the lantern to the temple where Saint Denis first found it. Here it sat until the 12th century, when it was found by the abbot Shugair. Shugair used the knowledge that he gained from the apple to create the Eagle of Shugair, a sword with the ability to create a bright light that would blind enemies during combat. Shugair also used the knowledge from the apple for his architectural redesign of the Basilica of Saint Denis, which saw Shugair use innovative structural and decorative features, finishing the choir, which was the first time that all the features of Gothic architecture were in one structure, sometime between 1140 and 1144. The apple fell back out of history after Shugair's life until sometime after August 10th, 1792. This was the date that Napoleon Bonaparte was searching Trouillery's palace in search of the apple. But instead, he found a key that glowed like it was the apple when it was in use. In August 1794, while Napoleon was officially under house arrest in Nice, he had a group led by Philippe Rose search the royal necropolis beneath the Basilica of Saint Denis to find the Isu temple that was also beneath the basilica. Disgraced assassin Arnaud Dorion beat Rose's men to the location of the head of Saint Denis and used it to kill the men in his path while he escaped the necropolis. After Arnaud's escape from the necropolis, he separated the Apple of Eden from the head of Saint Denis, keeping the head and passing along the apple to an assassin with the express instructions to give the apple to Al-Mualim in Cairo. The apple wouldn't stay in Egypt long, though, as Napoleon went on an expedition to Egypt in search of the apple, and when he found it in 1798, he returned to France and used it to gain power, eventually becoming the Emperor of the French. It is unknown how or when Napoleon no longer had control over the apple, but the next known person to hold this apple was magician and escape artist Harry Houdini. Harry, though, used the apple to embellish his escapes, making it look like he was doing all these elaborate and dangerous escapes that are still considered impossible today, when in reality, they were illusions created by the Apple of Eden. Eventually, though, the Templars found out he was holding an Apple of Eden, and they had him killed. Officially, from peritonitis, from a ruptured appendix. And they retrieve the apple for themselves. This brings us up to the apple's part in the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but we'll discuss that specifically after we discuss the history of Apple of Eden 3. Much like Apple of Eden 1, Apple of Eden 3 hasn't been seen in a lot of places. First, of course, within the glyphs of Assassin's Creed 2, but also within the Tyranny of King Washington DLC of Assassin's Creed 3, and the comic Assassin's Creed Bloodstone. Built sometime in the Isu era, Apple of Eden 3 has the standard abilities of the other apples like illusion projection and mind control. This apple, though, also has been shown to project energy blasts, but it wasn't until the Freemasons brought the apple to the British colonies that it was first known to be active since its creation. After the Siege of Yorktown in October 1781, George Washington found the Apple of Eden on an unnamed British officer and took it from him. Though, when asked later, he couldn't remember the face of the officer. After the American Revolution, Washington started to be haunted by his dreams, and he had visions that were created by the apple. These dreams and visions showed Washington being corrupted by the apple itself, creating and taking the title of King of the United States, and in turn, becoming a ruthless tyrant. Desperate to stop these visions, Washington sought out his old ally, Rattigahaton. After explaining the visions to him, Rattigahaton wanted to see the apple. Hesitantly, though, Washington agreed, and when they both touched the Apple of Eden, Rattigahaton woke up in a separate reality that was formed by the nightmares and the visions that Washington was having. Over time, Rattigahaton was able to defeat the tyrannical King Washington, even though he showed signs of being drawn to the Apple's power. When both Washington and Rattigahaton woke from the power of the Apple, they realized the dangers that it possessed, and Washington had Rattigahaton take the Apple and drop it in the sea. Rattigahaton took out his ship, the Aquila, put the apple in a weighted bag, and dropped it into the deep unknown areas of the Atlantic Ocean. While Rattigahaton was doing this, though, the apple was able to conjure a phantom that spoke to Washington one last time about taking up the mantle of king. Washington, though, was able to refute the phantom, and as Rattigahaton dropped the apple into the sea, the phantom disappeared. How the apple was retrieved, we don't know. But what we do know is that it was in the hands of the United States President Franklin Roosevelt in 1944, during a time that he found himself being manipulated by Templars into creating a new world order with other world leaders. It is also assumed that after Roosevelt's death, the apple had passed from president to president as it eventually made its way into the hands of John F. Kennedy. It is at this point in history where the two apples are known to cross paths. In preparation for removing the Apple of Eden III from John F. Kennedy, the Templars trained William Greer with Apple of Eden II in preparation to be able to handle the Apple of Eden that Kennedy was holding after his death. Greer, who was secretly an assassin, working under Boris Pass in the Bloodstone Unit, drove the presidential limousine through Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, on November 22nd, 1963. The plan was for Greer to slow the limousine to allow for Lee Harvey Oswald to kill the president and, in case he was unable to do so, Abraham Zapruder, who was recording the event, would instead assassinate the president. When the Templars used the Apple of Eden 1 to create the illusion of a second gunman on a grassy knoll with the goal to make it more difficult to prosecute Oswald, it was actually members of the Assassin's Bloodstone Unit who pulled the trigger. Greer was able to retrieve Apple of Eden 3 and flee the scene. He didn't get far, though, as he was confronted by fellow assassin Alexei Garvani, who stopped Greer from taking the apple to Pash and instead took the apple from Greer, eventually giving it over to William King Harvey, the director of the CIA at the time, and an assassin also working for the Templars. While it's unsure what exactly happened to these two apples of Eden after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, but as they were both known to be in the hands of Templars, it's suspected that Apple of Eden 3 was used to help NASA move ahead with the Apollo program, leading to Apollo 11's moon landing and the retrieval of Apple of Eden 5. These two apples are interesting to me for the simple fact that they're both only shown within the glyphs of Assassin's Creed 2, main game DLCs, and Assassin's Creed Bloodstone. It's one of those things in the series that seems like it's purely coincidental, but there is always that chance that it's not. And if it's not, that is the attention to detail that can make the series a wonderful place from installment to installment. There are a lot of gaps, though. I mean, we don't really know how Apple of Eden 3 got to Yorktown or how Apple of Eden 1 got to Paris. But for the latter, it wouldn't surprise me if it was placed there by the last Isu that used it. Apples of Eden are the quintessential pieces of Eden and are one of the most recognized pieces of iconography in the series. And with the history of them being used to control the human population during the Isu era, there are so many more stories and possibilities of other apples that we don't know about. And I think they will always be a great option to go back to when an Isu artifact is needed. But what are your thoughts on Apples of Eden 1 and 3? Or Apples of Eden in general? Let me know on Twitter at visions_AC. And I want to thank you for joining me today. Be sure to tune in every Tuesday for new episodes. If you love stories about Assassin's Creed lore, please tell your friends and follow this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting platform. And if you want to support this podcast and help provide for new episodes, I'd love for you to buy me a cup of coffee at bit.ly/visions_coffee. If you have any questions about Assassin's Creed or topics you'd like me to cover, please feel free to hit me up on Twitter and Instagram at visions_AC. Or you can always check out my TikTok at Visions of the Past Podcast. And you can find those links in the show notes below. And I have to let you guys know that in a couple weeks, we're going to hit episode 100 and have that little bit of a preview of the D&D game that will run throughout December. And I can't wait to hear what you guys think about the story that we put together. Until next time, my assassin friends, make sure to follow the creed. And to those Templars listening, may the Father of Understanding guide you.